Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. I'm here with one of my favorite people to talk to about Survivor. Honestly, just to talk to, period. Franny from season 44. How are you doing today?
I am so good. I love to talk to you too. So it's awesome.
Stop.
We got to hang out a little bit in New York. I'm like, I'm getting a lot of tag with chime in. This is good. This is great.
I know. There's nothing better than the two of us just gabbing away. It's like so much fun. And this is always like, I think we've been doing doing a show together at least once a season, probably since like 45 or 46. Like,
yes. Very consistently.
Very
I love it.
Consistently.
This is my touchdown point in the season to say, what does Tegwith think about this? I do need to know. So, yeah.
And I think this is a fun one to talk about because not only did I think that some people were down on episode 5, I actually liked it. I thought it was a little bit more interesting because I feel like we'll talk about this later, but we got some conflict. You know, we got some things that we don't typically get, honestly, in the new era that often. But also because this is a preview, I think that this is a big one for us to talk about because so much is about to change and so much is about to happen, something new that we really haven't seen before. So I'm really excited to, you know, get into the nitty gritty with you. Before I do that though, everyone listening, make sure to like and to subscribe to the specialists. What else? Become a patron. All that good stuff. Yeah, do it
we
all.
We love a patron. We love a patron.
We love. But Franny, before we get into this episode, how are you feeling about this season overall? I know some people are feeling a little bit down, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I think that we can perhaps all agree that it has had a bit of a slow start. I think it is hard to watch one tribe. And then now, even as they've done the swap, really one person go to tribal so much. And we really, really saw that this episode for poor, poor Sophie. I mean, she's exhausted and it you can't help but also feel a little exhausted watching her go through this. But I will say, I have so much hope for this season because the first two episodes in particular, I laughed harder than I have in years at Survivor. Like, these people are genuinely so funny. And I think that they have, they've fallen off a little bit because, as Jeff has said explicitly, it is hot. They are just especially exhausted. You can see that in how many clips they have of them napping. Like, I don't think I took a nap once. And so I'm like, dang, they must be really going through it. So it's gotten a little more slow, but I know that these people are so much fun. And I feel like, okay, get a merge feast in them, get a couple rewards in them. And then the second half of the season, I feel like we're just going to rock it off. I'm excited.
Yeah, totally, totally agree. I also have been saying a lot recently that like, I didn't, and I never was able to put this into words or whatever, but I think that it's way more, it's a bigger deal for me for it to be more interesting post-merge than pre-merge. Obviously,
totally
I want the whole season to be super interesting, but like, I think that we see time and time again, really, really interesting and crazy and fun pre-merges turn into a more, kind of expected post-merge. And even like one of my favorite seasons, like David versus Goliath, towards the end there, like, I'm just like, yeah, okay. I kind of saw where the cards were going to fall. I kind of knew what was going to happen. And so I also have high hopes because I think that seeing the same people go to tribal council, seeing everything over and over again, it's like beating a dead horse, pardon the crude expression, but it's just like, we kind of know what's going to happen. And when you go to tribal council so much, you're just like, whatever I can do to stay the next day, you're not going to be playing this like crazy game because you want to continue on in the season and you're going to do whatever that takes.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I expect we'll talk about a lot today is I feel for the people who've been going to tribal so much, also really feel for the people who haven't had a chance to go yet, because you can tell they have so much pent up energy to play the game. And there's a lot of potential that's building. We're going into another tribe swap, which is actually insane. But the new Kelly tribe, who didn't get a chance to go to tribal together.
Right.
Man, they were brewing a lot over there. And so I'm like, I'll just let them all go to tribal, you know, let them vote somebody out. So I do think that once everyone finally does come together, there will be a lot of energy and a lot of game that people are ready to play. And I think that'll make it so fun for us to watch. Because yeah, sometimes people do really gas out in the beginning and like get all their survivor energy out, and then it gets a little sleepy. So yeah. I'm totally fine with this flipped, slow to start, build into something great situation.
Absolutely. Now, when these two tribes were, when you know, they did the swap originally and these two tribes mm-hmm. were split up, did you feel like one tribe was going to do a lot better than the other? How did you feel about this split? Because I thought it was going to be like, honestly, one didn't seem too much stronger than the other from what I saw. And I was like, I think that everyone is going to go to tribal council. So the fact that one tribe mm-hmm. went twice kind of shocked me.
Yeah. So the thing that I noticed with this most recent episode, so looking back to like original Hina, who really just dominated like so yep. impressively. Again, funny. I feel like a lot of us before the season started were like, Hina's going to be in trouble. And they really just said like, F you, like we're so good at these challenges. But on that tribe, I feel like Jason was really the puzzle powerhouse. And I noticed since the swap, neither of the immunity challenges had a puzzle. And so I was like, oh, okay, that was really the powerhouse. And he is one of the Hina folks that swapped over to new Hina. And so I think that changed the balance a little bit, where somebody who's wicked strong like MC is on new Kele and then is helping them dominate in these really like strength and agility based challenges. So I feel like we had the tribe swap, but there was also a little bit of a script flip in terms of what they were being asked to do in the challenges that allowed the more like physical new Kella to dominate. But like at first glance, I didn't think that it looked unbalanced. But as they continued, I was like, okay, yeah, they really are going to win anything that's more physical, which is a
yeah, bummer. Absolutely. And I think that like, you know, I think a couple people had been saying this because of the swap. Seeing the swap be a 4-2-1 for both yeah. groups was a little disappointing, is not the right word, but I really wish that this would have been a time we could have seen a schoolyard pick or something like that. Ooh. Because I'm not saying it would have been a 3-3-1, but I do think a schoolyard pick in that instance would have been so interesting to see, like mm-hmm. to expose some bonds, to be like, how, you know, what are we doing? But then also being like, hey, if we're able to choose from this whole group, we've seen how everybody has done in challenges. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm not choosing my alliance member, maybe I'm choosing somebody who's just like MC, who's just incredibly yeah. strong, because maybe yeah. she's going to help us actually win the challenge. How do you think mm-hmm. that they should incorporate schoolyard picks back into the game a little bit?
I love a schoolyard pick. I also think when tribes have not had the chance to go to tribal council, schoolyard pick is like baby, you know, training wheels tribal council. Yes. It's like your first opportunity to kind of draw some lines about who you like and who you don't like. I would have loved that. I wonder why they've gone away from it. Is it like a time suck? Is it people feel bad? Because they at least on 44, it's not like they did one and didn't show right. it. Like we just
had they did do one at a certain point. I cannot remember what season it was, but I believe they did do a schoolyard pick for a reward or something, and then they didn't okay. show it. And I remember the reason I remember this is everyone was like, how dare you not show us a schoolyard pick? Yes. And I think they showed it like after scene. Like we really want it so badly.
Yes.
But it's something that I must be because it's a time suck. But yeah. No shade, no tea. On a season like this where yeah. 90 minutes.
You got time.
You've got the time. And it's just because we're seeing the same tribe go back to tribal council over and over again.
Yes.
If we were seeing more tribes go to tribal council, I think that I'm a huge proponent of the 90 minutes. I love it. But
yeah.
one tribe to tribal council over and over again. what are we showing with the other two tribes? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, we've got some wiggle room.
some wiggle room. We've got some extra time. Actually, going into this episode, I don't know if you remember how you felt last week, but I really thought it was the way the editing was going, even at the beginning of the episode, and the way the commercials were happening. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was going to be the new Kele that was going to go to tribal council this week.
This week. Okay.
Episode 5. Okay. Because there was just something about the way they were talking. I thought the whole Jawan Savannah thing was there to throw us off, which totally. It kind of was, but yeah. like, I really felt it was going to be them because I guess we'll get into it. Shannon and Sage.
Yes,
that is the headline.
The most interesting thing happening right now.
Yeah, that's the headline. Yeah. And I'll start with like Shannon specifically. She was playing, she played pretty hard. She, you know, even Steven said, I need my coffee, quote unquote coffee, before we start talking gameplay. Is that something you felt going into, you know, Survivor, playing the game really hard, really early, literally early in the day? Was that hard for you to take or?
Well, okay. It's so funny because as I rewatched the episode last night and as Steven was saying that, which by the way, I love Steven. He's so funny. I really love his confessionals. I had the exact opposite feeling in terms of like starting the game early in the day. Every morning, I actually slept pretty well. And every morning I would oversleep and everyone would already be up talking game. And I was like, no, like I'm missing out on the critical conversations. And so the fact that, you know, Steven was awake for a strategic conversation and was like, too early, I want to go back to sleep. I was like, oh, what are you saying? Like, this is important. But I think that honestly, like his opinion on that is just a mark of what happens when you don't go to tribal council. Like, I think before you go to tribals, it's kind of like a thing that you don't really realize until you're there. Speaking only for myself, all the conversations that you have feel a little like fake or a little like performative, like, oh, we're like playing Survivor. But until you have to go and have to actually write a name down, it doesn't feel that like critical. And so I think you get these situations where Steven's like, bah, I don't want to talk right now. It's like, okay, later in the game, you're going to be like, wake me up at 3 a.m. We got to have a conversation. But yeah, with Shannon and Sage, it's really interesting because I think Shannon did come out of the gate really hard, really fast. And I think if Kella had gone to tribal early, it would have benefited her because it really took a couple of days for this to develop where people are realizing, oh, Shannon's playing really hard. And then finally we see the moment where Alex and Steven connect with Sage and they really all connect the dots there. If they'd gone to tribal 2 days ago, I think that Sage would have just gone home. But now if they go, I don't think that'll be the case, which is interesting.
I think that's a really, really good insight because I think you're totally right. I think, you know, Sage did seem like she was on the outs. And, you know, the only negative really we heard about Shannon from that tribe was Steven being like, she's a shark in a spiritual guru's body. And, you know, that's not even necessarily a negative. It's just something that he needs to keep an eye out on because he's seeing that, she can play really hard, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get rid of her as soon as possible. But now people are connecting the dots. The time has, you know, gone against her. I also think that I talked about this a little bit with Rachel last week where we were talking about like, if you don't have many other conversations with people and the only time that they talk to you is about strategy or like it's all of a sudden you're like, oh, how was your day? How's it going? And also I have this idea that blah, 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 blah. Like it feels very unnatural.
Yeah.
That's something that's very obvious because, you know, you have all these natural conversations and that's kind of what I'm feeling like Shannon, what's happening to Shannon here. Because I think that like, while she's having good conversations with like Christina and MC, I don't think that she was having like really like grounded conversations with specifically Steven.
Totally agree.
And I think that like her being like, hey, I've got this idea. Steven's like, and good morning to you. Like also like, and I also have a personality. I'm not just here for a vote or whatever. You know what I mean? It's, and I do think that it's a little bit of that. Because, I mean, also, obviously, we're watching this edit, but, like, it just very much, it feels a little heavy-handed and not so natural. Do you think that that's, like, could be the case at all?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I think that the person who Shannon has had the most genuine and grounded conversations with is Christina. Like, we saw this moment where they were talking about Christina's mom who had died, and that seemed like a really, like, bonding conversation. And Christina is clearly the person who is most stuck on wanting to work with Shannon and really liking Shannon. So like when you take the time to do that, it actually sets a really important foundation for strategy. The thing that I will say for Shannon though, where I'm like, I gotta give her some grace on this is like, sometimes in Survivor, when you like identify somebody who you feel like is on the same wavelength as you in terms of how you want to play the game, you kind of do just want to jump into strategy. Like I had that feeling on my season. Like when we merged, I found a couple people where I was like, ah, I think you think about this the game the same way that I do. And that's such an exciting feeling, especially if you're Shannon and you've been on a tribe with some people that you maybe didn't connect with as much, like Sage, who hasn't talked any strategy to you. I think it's hard not to just jump in. So I see where she is coming from with that. But yeah, the downside is it doesn't always hit if the other person isn't feeling it. And it was interesting on the rewatch. I really noticed that kind of everyone seemed pro Shannon except Steven. It really wasn't until Steven had his little moments with people individually that he kind of pulled back the veil and made everyone see what Shannon was doing. But I think if he had kept that impression to himself, the plan that Shannon was describing, this like group of mixed from all the original tribes, would have probably come to fruition. Like people seem to feel good about that.
Yeah, I think that's, and I think that's so interesting because I don't think that we see this that often where everyone is feeling really good about somebody and then like one or two people turn the tide against that person. I think that we see it the other way around. I think that we see like people feeling bad about somebody and then everyone's like, and then we see one person or two people be like, well, actually, I think that blah, 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 blah. And it can turn the tide in a positive way for that person. And I think that it's incredibly interesting because Steven kept saying like, you know, in another world, I think that I would get along really well. And I think that I, you know, I like her a lot and all of this stuff, but it just seems like these are the two on the bottom. I think that Sage is somebody that I would rather work with. Maybe it's because I think that Sage is playing a really interesting game.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Kind of like almost a little bit like Carolyn in a way.
She's so similar to Carolyn.
She's so smart and you can tell that she has really good reads and she's so smart, but then she's kind of, I would love to, I mean, maybe we never hear an exit interview until the very, very last day and that would be great, but I would love to hear whether or not that's like purposeful or if she's like playing up a part of herself just to kind of like downplay maybe her strategy. This was Sage's breakout episode. I loved it so much.
Yes. This is what I'm talking about where I was like, you start the season and these people are so funny. And then we lost some of those moments. And this episode, I was like, oh, no, they're still so funny.
Because
hilarious.
I think I was in the middle of a thought and I completely lost it because I was like, Sage.
Where were we going with that? We were talking about Shannon. Oh, Steven turning the tide on Shannon.
And I think that it's so interesting that like he didn't go to the larger group and be like, hey guys, we're feeling weird about Shannon, right? He like pulled people aside. And then he was like, I totally see where you're coming from, but don't you feel like a little, like he met everybody on their level. Really liked how he did that. Because again, I don't think it was coming from malice. I don't think it was coming from anything else. I think it was just genuinely like, I think that this person is going to be dangerous in the long run. And how can I mitigate that now where, you know, I've got all of these people and it seems like everyone's getting along, but how can I do something about it? And I really think that he did a quite amazing job at, you know, turning the tide.
Yeah. And this was also, I mean, this could have been editing magic. We're being shown things in a specific order, but it seemed like he started with MC, which is absolutely the right move. Start with your number one ally who is most likely to be on the same page as you. And then in the conversation with him, MC and Christina, it was kind of MC taking the lead on being like, Christina, we should really be nervous about this, which was perfect because then people, if they gather in a group and talk about this, won't all have this impression like, oh, Steven is really the only one who is anti-Shannon. And then the other thing I really loved was how he approached that conversation with Alex, because like you said, like if that whole group had gotten together, Christina, MC, Steven, Alex, and had been like, we're sus on Shannon, right? We don't really like this. I could see Alex feeling alienated and feeling like, oh man, that's somebody I actually really connect with. Maybe I don't want to work with this bigger group. But because Steven really did that individually and very like, I don't know, gently or subtly, I feel like it just made his bond with Alex stronger and really like brought him into something. It's like bringing someone in with a secret. Like, I don't really know about Shannon. Like, let's talk about this a bit. I thought it was like so well done. And also big props to Steven, because I think especially early game Survivor, you haven't gone to tribal yet. There really is this fear that prompts you to want to go with any plan that is presented to you, especially one that will, you know, keep you in the majority. And so I think it's pretty cool that he thought to himself, I actually don't trust this person. I'm going to take small steps to keep her out of my plans, as opposed to just yes anding everything that came his way.
Yeah, I thought it was, it was a breakout episode for Sage, but I also think that we saw so much smarts and so much savvy from gameplay from Steven. And yes. I think that to me, the big part that kind of highlighted how good Steven was doing with all of this was that Alex conversation, because I think there's a world in which Steven could approach that conversation and make it seem like, oh, you think that Shannon's on your side? Oh, yes, wow. Yes, yes, yes. You know, you can, and it wouldn't be that obvious, but like, I think in Alex's situation, you could feel, well, he's the only one from his tribe. He could feel dumb for getting got by Shannon. And I think that Steven, the way he laid out the information, he was like, man, yeah, she's really good at all this. Like, how are you feeling? And Alex is like, well, yeah, I was feeling pretty good about her. And they lay it out in the sense that, like, me too. Like, I thought that too. And I think that it really could have played differently in Alex's mind, and then maybe even gotten Steven and Alex to go against each other. But it was so brilliantly laid out between the two of them. I thought, it could have gone really differently, but I thought it went really, really well. And I think
that's why I'm disappointed a little. I'm disappointed that this group is not going to go to tribal. Yeah. Like I saw that there's like, we know the groups for the next episode. I did not see if like Steven, Alex, Sage, Shannon, like, are they all still together?
You'll be happy. So newer Kella is, Shannon, Sage, Steven, and Jawan.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It's going to be really, really interesting. And then while I'm at it, just so you, I'll talk about this later, but newer Hina is Rizzo, MC, Savannah, and Sophie with an I, from Miami.
Oh, okay. Ooh, rough for MC. Okay.
I know. And then newer Uli, whichever one you want to say, is Christina, Alex, Nate, and Sophie with an E. I know.
That's a funky combination.
The one that I'm like nervous about.
Nervous about from a challenge perspective, or from
let me rephrase. I'm most interested to see go to tribal council because I'm nervous, uneasy about what will happen.
That's the biggest question mark for me. Because, well, also, we've seen so little of Sophie with an E. What is she thinking? What's she up to? She doesn't want fruit, and she made herself a hat. And, like, that's all I know. I want no more.
She is an engineer for that hat. She also made Christina a hat, too. So good.
Yeah, I loved that.
Did anybody, like, on your season, like, make anything like that?
Yeah, so Jam Jam like wove himself a hat that was like actually very impressive.
Aussie that wove the hat? Yeah.
Yeah, it was very similar to that. So that was very impressive. I don't think we were just running around being weird. I don't think we made anything else. That was really the like craftsmanship of the season.
How hot was it out there for you guys? Was it hot, really hot for you guys?
So that's the thing. It's really interesting how the weather changes and also how the weather is so different from the even seasons to the odd seasons, because it's, you know, you're separated by about 2 months for filming. It wasn't really that hot. I feel like I wore a sweater most of the time. I mean, it is unforgiving when you're in the middle of the day in a challenge in the sun. But in general, it was much colder than I expected. So it's honestly hard for me to understand just how intense it is for them, because if it was hot all the time, it's like that just adds a whole other element. And really this episode, the one where I was like, man, that would suck, is the bags journey challenge that Nate and MC did. I mean, that looked absolutely grueling.
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was really brutal. I was like, that's just cruel. But yeah, I think that it does seem like there's something extra crazy happening with the weather this season, because Jeff said it, but I was noticing Jeff was That is sweaty this season.
Sweaty Jeffrey.
Oh, he's yeah. Really, and it's like, he's looking hot. So, so especially.
Brutal. I think that like, let's talk about the journey. Now that bring that up, like, let's talk about, so Journey, MC, and Nate. And before we talk about the journey, I want to say my man, Juwan is my winner pick for the season. I'm nervous about him this next episode, but that's okay. Rigging a rock draw, my guy, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. I will say though, that was so funny because he was like, I feel like that was a little revisionist history. I do believe that he put the white rock on top, but don't most people rifle around in the bag? I was like, who just dropped? That's like Nate's fault for just drawing the one on top.
Do you think that Juwan like winked and we didn't see, like he was like winking at Nate, be like,
yeah, top rock. Yeah.
Draw the top one.
Perhaps. Yes. I mean, it didn't really add that much for Nate in that he does not have an advantage, but I guess they kept it away from Jason, which is the overall goal. I love a little rigging moment. I like when people decide to have those extra, you know, exert control in small ways.
I like when people are like trying to be, I like when people are sneaky on Survivor a little bit, like Sophie, overhearing listening, or like Sophie also like hiding the box. Like, I like it when people have the instinct to do something other than just whatever kumbaya is the, you know,
the shoe bandit, you know,
the shoe bandit, the ocean also stealing a
the
shoe.
Ocean. Yeah.
So I love that. That's an instinct that people are having this season. But we go to the journey, and this is the first journey of two that the vote is gone this season. So that's, I will say, being episode five and being five episodes in and having the first journey where automatically everyone's vote is gone, I'm okay with that. Like,
yeah. And there's like a you know, we've seen a lot of journeys in the past where your vote is gone and it is essentially up to chance to get your vote back. I mean, the bags looked incredibly hard. They did have a lot of time. Even at the end, there was more sand in the top of the hourglass than in the bottom. So I think they did actually make it achievable to get your vote back. Though maybe that was also because MC is like insanely strong.
Yeah.
That helped.
But it like seemed achievable. It seemed like, you know, it's like the sweater savvy back in the day when it was, you know, it's achievable. It's still not fun, but it's achievable. And they, you know, decide. And I will say, when we were watching Ryan, my partner, halfway through, he was like, this is so weird. Survivor's not going to just have no upside. I bet you it's on a crate. And I bet you that there's a thing on the crate. He literally called it like almost verbatim. It was crazy.
That's so fun. Because I'm watching, I'm like, man, that's a big stack of bags. That's crazy. Like, whoosh, no awareness.
I didn't even, and I was like, oh, I bet you there is something. But, and then immediately it was like exactly how he said it. And I was like, have you seen this before?
Yeah,
like, what is happening here? Yeah. It was crazy. But I think, and their instinct is exactly what I would have done. Let's get most of the pile done. Let's work together, especially because they had spent so much time getting to know each other. How did you like that instinct from Nate?
Loved that. I thought that was really good because I think that it's really easy in a moment like that where you're both so gassed to just be silent. And it was a little awkward when he started, you know, when you're like, tell me fun facts about yourself. That's sort of it's an awkward lead in, but it did seem like they really connected. And I genuinely think that that'll be helpful moving forward. And I like him. I think that Nate was just really so smart about this whole journey. Like he took a look at this. He had a couple of important thoughts. He was like, this is going to take a long time. I'm going to utilize this time well. And then when the advantage comes into it, I really like the immediate awareness that he is not going to be the one who finds the advantage. It's really like a know yourself moment. And I think that he really finessed that really well. And also after spending probably an hour with MC, I think you can probably recognize that she is a beast. She wants to exceed physically. She also really gives that she's a hard worker and likes teamwork. So I think he read all of that and understood that he could float this idea to her of doing all but the last bag and that it would actually work. Because I think there are a lot of people who would be like, F that, I'm done with this, and would not agree to this proposition.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The thing also said, like, all of the bags had to be done no matter what, right? Like, the advantage, if you got the advantage, if the bags weren't done, was the advantage still null and void? Do you remember?
Oh, good question. I think that my impression was that if they split, somebody finds the advantage, that person has the advantage and their vote back.
Okay.
And then the person who did not find it has to finish the bags in order to get their vote back. And I don't, I mean, I would assume that at that point, the first person who found the advantage could continue to help the other person if they wanted to. But my impression is that it was really on them, which, I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. They both know how much that would suck to be on the hook yourself.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I just Googled it. You're right. Yeah. So if they found the advantage, they got their vote back, and the other person has to finish the sandbags alone to keep their vote. So the other person can't even help with the bags.
Oh, alone.
Yeah, it has
God.
To be alone. Yeah. So yeah, it would be absolutely brutal. So the idea of, hey, let's get all of them done. Wait until the last one. I even like that they brought the bag halfway. Like in my head, I was so cute. Just wait until one and then you guys go. And they were like, no, we're bringing it like very close to the end. So that really all they have to do is walk about 3 feet.
I love that. I also love the, like, you know, I like how in their minds, like, as soon as it crosses behind the crate, it's done. So it's like, get it as, you know, close as you can. Like, the curtain's going to come down.
Exactly. I also loved it. Like, I really, really, really want Nate to drop the pink hair picks. Like,
Yes.
I need that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening, Nate? Let's drop the picks. Let's get on it.
Let's talk about this more.
You can't say that and not give the people what they want.
Yeah. I really love Nate. I mean, he's like, they're really playing up this, you know, he's the older guy. He doesn't understand the lingo. I love the ASMR mention during the episode, mukbang. yeah. That was really funny. But I mean, Nate is cool. Like, Nate's hip and cool. And I can't wait to find out more about him as the season comes on.
I also think that it's so funny to me that he is, you know, a big time movie producer. I mean, like, almost as big as you can possibly get. And that he also is somehow still out of the, I think he's playing this up, because there's no way that you are creating movies. I mean, let's be real. Marvel movies, they're for everybody, but they're geared towards, like, younger guys.
Yes.
Like, yes. Typically. I mean, women are now more, but it's not like, it's like ages, I would say 25 and under is their, you know, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's probably their demo.
So I think that, like, him, I think he's playing it up a bit. And your dog agrees.
And she agrees. She's like, I love Nate.
Big
Nate stan in the house. So is it, you can hear it. You can hear
it. No, it's not that bad.
Okay. I think it's the mailman. You know, she's got to make herself known.
Of course. That's her job.
But, like, well, and also, I mean, Nate has kids. I feel like when you have kids, you also hear the slang. So he's playing it up. Like, I think he wants to be perceived as, like, the older guy who's maybe not as much of a threat. But yeah, he's really thinking.
He's
doing good work. I loved how he asked MC, I don't know if we actually got her answer, but as they're bonding, he asked her what her favorite movie is. I was like, if she says Black Panther, that's crazy. Like, if you're Nate, do you say, like, that's my movie?
No. Okay. So I would love to hear your thought on this, because I don't know if this is a hot take. I think, and I've been saying this a lot this season, that in general, not telling people what you do as for a job and not giving your 100% like truth is actually maybe not causing more harm than good for some people, but I do think that it's making you lose out on bonds that you could potentially have. And I think Nate is in, I understand that, you know, there's this idea that if you get to the end in the final three, people might not want to give $1 million to somebody who's already very wealthy. But hey, guy, you got to get there first, right? You got to get, you got to make your way. And then you can deal with that problem when you get there. That's a good problem to have.
Yes.
But I do think that if he tells people, or like shares it with somebody who, and it's like, it's between us or whatever, that he is a producer for, I mean, people love these movies. Like,
everyone knows these movies.
Everybody knows these movies. Like, Ryan and I will watch them. Like we've gone through all of the Marvel movies probably once or twice, or maybe even more. People love these movies. I do think that there is a bonding moment that you're missing out on, because there's a connection there, and you don't have that when you just don't tell anybody. Do you agree?
No, I totally agree. I think it's also like as diligent as you are about, you know, hiding your past, hiding your profession, coming up with a fake story, you know, people put a lot of thought into this. There will always be disconnects or holes in your story when you are lying about your job. It's just true. Like this was something that I really noticed on my season. I started on a tribe with Josh, who was a doctor, but he was lying and saying he was a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you're bonding, you're trying to talk with somebody. We would ask him about personal training and he like wouldn't really know what to say. And I was like, this is your job. What do you, why do you not know what you're talking about? And so it does like impede your connection because you really do want to get to know these people. Like, you know, as you're sitting there on the island, you're like, okay, I'm going to know these people for the rest of my life. We're going through this crazy experience together. I want to understand you. And I think that he also has this central issue of like not quite connecting with the younger folks on his tribe. If you say that you are a Marvel person, they're going to be like, no way. They're going to ask you so many questions and like that. It just prompts so much connection. And real talk, many of the people who go on Survivor nowadays are wealthy. So also I think that he's probably in good company.
Yeah. And I also think like, let's be real. Like, I don't, maybe this is a bad look for me, but I am, I did theater growing up. I was a theater major in college. My dream was to be an actor. If somebody is a big time movie producer and I'm on a tribe with them, yeah, I'm going to keep them as safe as I possibly can. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be like, hey, yes, let's get you to the end. And I'm not saying that that's a great look for me. But it's just like that is the goal. Like, imagine if he had told Jawan that he was a Marvel producer. Jawan would be like, hey, what can I do for you? Can I?
Yes.
Why don't you sit out and I'll do everything? Like, how can I?
Do you want a coconut? Yeah. Do you want? Can I get you anything?
Can I get you anything? You want a foot rub? Like, what do you need? You know, I'm not saying that that's necessarily what he wants, but this is a game. You want to get to the end. And I do think that there's something that he could have used. And again, like when you work in film and movies and things like that, like that's, you think about it a lot. Like obviously everyone thinks about their job, but like it's typically a passion for a lot of people and you think about it all the time. And I think that like, I think it'd be crazy. Like if I went out on something, like let's say I went to a bridal shower a couple of months ago. And I went into it being like, hey, Tegwith, don't bring up Survivor. Like, nobody there. Like, no
Survivor.
You gotta
tell yourself.
Because it's such a big part of my life. Like, I can really, truly bring any conversation back to Survivor. Really, it's quite a skill. Skill, curse, I don't know.
Skill. Squarely a skill. Yeah.
Okay. And, like, halfway through, I was, like, not a good conversationalist because I was so focused on don't bring up Survivor because not everyone watches it and people are going to think you're weird and all of this stuff. And then halfway through, I was like, just be you. And then all of a sudden we were all having way more fun and everyone, like we were chatting and it was great.
Yeah.
And it was like, if I had just started that from the beginning, it wouldn't have been awkward for the first hour.
Yeah. Like surprise when people talk about things they're passionate about, they are fun to be around.
Exactly.
And speak to. Yeah. It's counterintuitive, but it's like, it's just the truth. And also it's like, it's just cool. Like, it's just cool. He should really bring it up.
He really should.
I hope that he has some sort of like reveal at some point.
Like a Julie-esque really reveal fun. Where she like says she's a lawyer right as she's leaving or something.
Yeah. It's here's the question.
Or no, that was Keturah. Whatever. Sorry.
Keturah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Did Julie? But Julie.
I think Julie
say...
said she. I think she said she was. What didn't she?
I don't think she did because I think she said.
No, she didn't. She said to Keturah. She said to Keturah, "You should go to law school."
Yeah, and Keturah was like, "Really?
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what it was. Sorry."
Here's my question. Is Nate actually currently a stay-at-home dad? Or is he lying about that too?
He might be.
Okay.
I think he is.
That's the other thing. It's like, I think that element also makes it a little less threatening because you can be like, this was like, I used to have this job. Mm-hmm. I am really a stay-at-home dad now. Like, I'm not lying to you. So it's like, I don't know. People always think that their job is more threatening than it is. It's like, okay, we're all, you know, every job can be made threatening in some way. Like, let's just maybe tell the truth about what we do.
And also, I would say, like, if somebody doesn't want to work with you, they're going to find any reason to make you seem like a threat to get you out. And whether that's your if that's your job, where you're from, how old you are, whatever it is, people are going to be like, hey, I don't want to work with this person. I don't like them that much. How can I get them out? And they're going to find the path of least resistance no matter what.
Totally.
And so I think that, you know, your job being a threat, I think, is kind of like an overplayed thing, because I really don't think it is. I think that, like, even now, if you tell me that you're a lawyer, I'm going to be like, okay, and?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Great. Like, I really don't think that there's a job where I'm going to be like, unless it's, no, I don't think there's a job at all that would make me feel like I'm now threatened by this person in this game of Survivor, because let's be real, everyone's starting on the same foot, unless it's a half returnee, half non-returnee. Everyone is playing Survivor for the first time. I don't care what your day job is. We're all here on this island in Fiji. I don't care how prepared people think that you are.
Yeah,
you've never done this before, so I think we're all starting off on the same foot.
Yeah, well, and the reality is, if you do nothing in the game and then get to the end and say, well, I was a lawyer the whole time, that's not going to get you the win. Yeah. So then, like, what difference does it make? It's all based on what you do in the game anyways. He should say at some point.
Now, I do think that, like, at the end where, so back at the journey, when he is like, I really don't want to look for this anymore. And the more MC looks, the more she might find it. Do you think that MC, like, was just so tired of looking, and she was like, I know that there's so much sand left in that thing, but I don't really care at this point? Or do you think that her brain wasn't, or like, do you think his lie worked? Or do you think, like, later MC is going to be like, well, I think that he was trying to get me to stop?
Yeah, it was interesting. So my read on that is that she really was just so exhausted that she was like, I don't care anymore. I actually think that for Nate, like, at that point, they have agreed to move the bag basically to the end. He knows that he will have a vote. I don't see, like, a huge problem with allowing MC to get the advantage, especially if you know about it and you can make a connection about it. You know exactly where it is. You can decide if you want to work with her and have the advantage maybe benefit you, or use that as a tool to turn against her. So it didn't feel like 100% necessary from my perspective, but I think that even just, like, MC has a confessional about how, oh yeah, Nate might have been, like, up to something. I think that's going to, like, percolate in her mind a little bit. I don't know. I feel like these journeys, like, don't always have as big of an impact on relationships as we hope they will. So, you know, they put in a lot of work to bond, but then maybe had this weird moment at the end that could have undone some of that. I'll be very curious to see if they actually have more of a connection in, like, a merge, or if it's just like, oh yeah, I know this person slightly better, but we maybe had a weird moment, and then it ends up being sort of a wash.
I think you're totally right. And I especially think that you're right, because I think that, like, MC, mainly because this season, having a disaster tribe reinforces the bonds of the tribes that win more and more and more. And I think when you don't have to go to tribal council and you don't have to vote with somebody out, all you're doing is just bonding all day. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
You're sitting around. Yeah. And yeah, you're in theory playing the game, quote unquote, playing the game. But, like, you're not, because you're not going to tribal council.
Yeah.
And so you're just sitting around eating as much as you can, and bonding, and maybe taking some naps or whatever, getting ready for the challenge. And I think that this is also, having a disaster tribe is the like, what started all of this, like the Hina versus Uli, that like, they're so bonded. They're so, they're clearly the opposition. It's not even, they're not even worried about the blue tribe in the middle at all. It's like, it's us against them. And when it's us against them, it leads to more straightforward votes, exactly like we saw in the last 2 weeks, where it was Hina, because Uli's not going to go against Uli right now, because they spent 10 days getting to know each other so well.
Yeah.
And it's hard to break those bonds. And I think it's hard even on a swap tribe. And I think it's hard even on a journey. And I think that when you have a disaster tribe, it's just, those bonds get a little bit harder to break each time.
Yeah, and I think it's frustrating as a viewer, because when one tribe doesn't go to tribal for a long time, they also, like, build up some resentment. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Jawan and Savannah, you know, she can't stop talking about how annoyed she is at him. And it's, I think it's really frustrating as a viewer when you see that happening, but there's nothing comes to fruition. They have not voted Jawan out. Maybe down the line, he, you know, he clearly is at the bottom of this group. At some point down the line, he may become like a sacrificial lamb. But I think it's so frustrating to watch this group that has some dissension and like they still just work together. You're like, what? Okay, well, what was the point of that? Yeah, it's like a really sweet spot that you have to hit in the early game where you don't want to just go to tribal again and again and again, because then you really do just vote off the weakest link because you're trying to survive. So you want to build up just enough like conflict that when you go to tribal, you can actually act on it. Because if you let it go too long, then it's like, okay, Jawan annoys me. He's like my annoying cousin. I'm not going to vote him out because he is family and he will work with me, even though he's pissing me off. And I think that like, as a viewer, that's even kind of hard to understand because clearly there's so much like conflict there, but it's just nothing comes from it.
I was talking to somebody recently. I cannot remember who it was. So I apologize to them in advance, but so I'm giving them credit. I just can't remember who it was. But they were saying that they think that this is the fault of the shorter game, the 26-day game, because having to live with somebody that may annoy you for 26 days is quite different than living with somebody for 39 days that annoys you, especially because on a 39-day game, there are off days. And so there are off days where nothing happens. You don't go to a challenge. You don't go to tribal. You don't do anything. It's just, you're just hanging around there. And so with a shorter game, I think you're like, you can kind of view like, okay, I can live with this person until the next tribal council. I can live with this person until the next tribal council, which is only like 2 or 3 days. But in a longer game, you're like, can I live with this person for 9 days? Can I live with this person for 3 more days? I don't know that I can. And I think that that is one thing that we lose in the shorter game, because you're like, it's not that much time. I can live with my annoying cousin for another, you know, couple of days. Less animosity is built up.
Yes. Well, and on the flip side, you know, you're thinking like, okay, can I live with this annoying person for, you know, 5 more days? On the flip side, you also have 5 more days to connect with the new person who you just met and make them feel more like family too. The other thing is like, I feel like we can see this juxtaposition on this current season because of the tribes that have not gone to tribal. The new Kella, which we were just talking about, Sage and Shannon, that dynamic is so interesting. There's a lot of moving parts there that I want to see play out in a tribal. The amount of time that they have had together is like the normal amount of time just between tribal councils in a 39-day season. And so when there's more space, there's room for all of these interesting interactions to happen, because you don't just go with your immediate impressions of people and vote based on that. I mean, there really is something lost there. I feel like for me, I mean, we had like, two, maybe 3 off days while I was there. And those days, like, kind of a lot of movement would happen and who was talking to who, where the bonds were. And you don't realize that necessarily when you're watching the detriment of having everything be so quick back to back.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting that like, I do think that in a, like if Jawan, if there's a merge or something and it's now, or not if, I mean, there is going to be a merge, but if Jawan and Savannah
we'll
are
just swap
together,
into smaller and smaller swap, tribes.
Go to the end, it's only 3 tribes of 1.
This is a completely different show now. Jeff's like, we're changing it up.
We're changing it completely. But I think that if Savannah and Jawan ever reunite, I think it'll be very interesting when it becomes an individual game. And yes, Savannah will want to most likely stay with Uli strong, but like at some point, Uli's got to go, you know?
So I think
it'll be interesting to watch that play out.
The other thing, just to, since we're talking about Savannah and Jawan, you know, we talked about how Steven really kind of set the tone of people being suspicious towards Shannon. I feel like same exact thing happened with Savannah and Jawan, because I think even in this episode, Rizzo made a comment like, I've actually had a pretty good relationship with Jawan. But because Savannah is sort of like the queen bee of that group and really is annoyed with him, she's like setting this standard that he is on the bottom. We're all annoyed at him. I don't think Nate has ever had a particular problem with Jawan, but it's just, it's interesting to see on these two tribes, there's really one person who is has a problem with somebody and is like disseminating that information, and it's working. Like everyone is getting on their page. It's kind of scary. Like, you know, poor Juwan, he really just like shot himself in the foot with that whole bag thing.
Oh my gosh. I know, the bag and the bottle. Did that ever happen to you when you were out there? Did you ever accidentally like grab somebody else's stuff, or is it pretty obvious?
I mean, the water bottles all look exactly the same. I think the bag thing is pretty crazy. I mean, he had to remove, you know, you're taking clothes out of the bag. You don't notice that you've got like, and also Savannah's tiny, like you're holding up like a child's pair of shorts and you're not like, is this my stuff? This doesn't seem like my stuff. So I think he's a little like absent-minded perhaps. It's weird that it's just her too.
It's so weird.
There's a subconscious thing.
But it genuinely feels like an accident. Like I feel like we would have had a confessional of him going like, oh, I'm really trying to mess with Savannah's head. So I keep like grabbing your stuff, which is real. I feel like people will do that. Right.
Oh, totally.
But like it genuinely feels like, oh, wait, oh no. Oh God, it's her bottle. How did that happen?
No.
Like it genuinely feels like a big mistake.
Big mistake.
But it's funny.
What did you think of his, this is fast forwarding, but since we're on Juwan, his like random comment to Jeff during tribal about feeling like not so good in the big group or feeling, I don't know, he really seemed to be holding a lot of paranoia.
Yeah, definitely. That made me feel a couple of different things. Firstly, I felt sad. Most everyone has felt that once in their life where they feel in the outs and whatever. And you can't really, you know, what's going wrong. You kind of like see, you're like watching a bad movie where you're like watching things happen. And you're like, I understand what's going on and I can't seem to fix it. And I feel like that's what's happening to him. So that was really hard. And him also bringing up the fire, which is is the thing that started it all with Savannah.
Yes. So he's aware of it. He really knows, which is it. I feel like often people are like, I don't know why people's impressions change. Like he knows it.
And I also think that that just shows in the game like this, like something that really shouldn't be that big of a deal. Him not being able to make fire, he internalized that. Him internalizing that then made him have this like outburst or like this frustration. And then not even him not making fire, the frustration is what kind of started this snowball effect between him and Savannah. But it's like, what, you know, there's nothing really you can do about it. You're like, I don't want my tribe mates to see like that I'm weak. And then you just keep internalizing it and you keep internalizing it and you can't really talk to anybody about it. You don't know anybody. You can't be like, you don't want to show any weakness, especially in a 6-person tribe. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of have this reaction, which makes it so much worse, but there's really not much you can do about it. And so in that moment, I was like, oh, he totally understands what's happening. He knows what's going on. It's like watching an accident in slow motion.
Yes.
He's part of, but he's watching it from the outside. And I felt really bad for him. But it also made me happy that he was so aware. And I do think that that was something that I kind of am glad he brought it up because he's like, hey guys, I know what's going on. I understand. I see this. And maybe that will open the door for some other people, maybe to take them under their wing or to like, be like, maybe let's give him a little bit of grace. Who knows? So I'm glad he said it, but it was still also made me kind of sad.
I had the same feeling. Cause I've 100% been there where it's like, you know, that something is wrong. You know that you're acting weird because something is wrong. And the fact that you're acting weird is making it worse. And you're like, how do I stop acting weird? I wonder if that will make an impact on Savannah, this speech. Cause I feel like her, you know, she has all these like moments with him that are weird, but I feel like her central thing is just like, he's annoying and he's not aware. And he doesn't realize that I realize what he's doing, sitting in on conversations, you know, taking her bag, whatever. But by him kind of pointing it out and being vulnerable, I wonder if that will shake her out of this just like place of so much frustration that she's in and help her realize like, okay, he's actually feeling a little isolated. He's aware that he's being a little off or annoying. Like maybe I can cool it with the Juwan shade. Yeah, curious to see how that. Plus, I think some time apart will do them good. So yes, that'll be nice to see.
Maybe what are the distance make the heart grows fonder? Maybe.
Yeah,
she's gonna come back. Oh, man, I miss it.
I love Juwan. Yeah,
I know where my bottle is at all times. I miss missing it.
Yes. Where's the spontaneity of not knowing if I can drink water? Yeah,
exactly. I think it'll be really interesting to see them split up like this. Yes. Now, one person that we haven't really talked a ton about is Sage this episode. And I know we talked a lot about Shannon, but I would like to talk about Sage. And Gabe tweeted this, and I could not agree more. Gabe tweeted this. He basically said something, not verbatim, but like Sage is giving a masterclass on how to play the game from the bottom on a tribe that, you know, after a bad swap for you. And I could not agree more. I think that she is playing everything so well because it's not like she's just gossiping for the sake of gossip. She's not spreading things for the sake of just yapping. She is... it seems like everything is premeditated. She's thinking about, hey, when is the best way to say this? How is the best way to say this? I'm not going to bring this up unless somebody brings it up to me. And then when they bring it up to me, then I'll be like, oh my God, wait, you see this too? Great. Mm-hmm. Amazing. We're going to have this bond. But then I really, really think telling about Rizzo's idol was the best choice she could have made.
Loved that. That was so good. Because I think if in that moment, her only pitch to them had been negativity about Shannon. Shannon's playing you. Shannon's being performative, whatever. It would have landed with some people, landed less well with other people, especially like Christina. But her offering up something completely different that is a separate show of trust and being able to highlight, I know this thing, Shannon knows this thing, and she hasn't told you. Oh, it was so good. I was so proud of her. I was like, that's perfect.
It was so good. And I also think it was really, really good because she said it when everybody was there also. Yes. So she didn't have to pick one person and be like, don't tell anybody. Or, you know, she said it to everybody at one time so that no one could like spin a story about her. Nobody could change it. Nobody could be like, hey, she told me this, but she told me not to tell you. Like there was no... a space for misinterpretation here. She told every single person. She laid her cards out. And I think that she did it in such a brilliant way. And I think that I saw some people online like mad that she betrayed Rizzo. Rizzo's not there. Rizzo was not there. She's got to do what she's got to do.
She felt that she was on the bottom of that other tribe. Why would you not betray Rizzo in that moment? Yes. That's crazy. Yes.
I said this previously, I actually thought it was wild that Rizzo told everybody on his tribe that he had the idol because in a tribe of six, there is 9 times out of 10, a core four. As Rob Sesonio says, if I hear the core four one more time, there usually is a core four. And that means if there's a swap, something happens. And if you're on the bottom, you typically feel like you're on the bottom. Not everybody, but you know, you get the subtle hints or whatever. Uh-huh. All information can be used against you. And the fact that MC could corroborate it in her head and be like, yep, that's exactly what it sounds like. She's not making this up. I thought was brilliant.
Yeah. I also think that for Sage, to me, this does feel like a mixture of gameplay and just personality. Like she's so quirky, but she's very genuine and she's really like a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, I think the way that she approached this in the full group, no ambiguity, it leaves people with the impression that she is very trustworthy. She will tell you how she's feeling. She will, be honest with everyone as part of a group. And I think that like that direct comparison to Shannon, who has had all these individual moments that are, you know, on a spectrum of like less genuine to more genuine.
Right.
You want to work with Sage. You know, looking at these two, it's so clear, like Sage will go with us. And if she doesn't want to go with us, we'll be able to tell. She'll say something. Whereas Shannon will run off in a million different directions and we won't know how she's going to react. So yeah, I just feel like she has set herself up as such a useful ally. And I also think like, yeah, again, I was just complaining about how this tribe hasn't gone to tribal, but I am really glad that they had these two cycles to let these dynamics build a little bit, because I'm so glad that Sage got to have this moment with Alex and Steven where they're talking about Shannon. Sage is like, can I trust you? I've felt this for a while, because the impression that I was getting from my side of the screen is like, they all maybe thought Sage was a little weird, maybe weren't connecting with her as closely. And then that felt like the egg is cracking open and we're being vulnerable here. And I just feel like she played that so well and is really well set up for the next episode.
I agree. I also think that like, there are tribes that, everyone has to go to tribal council, but there are tribes that I'm glad don't go to tribal council early, because I do think that there would be casualties. Totally. Because yeah. I think that there are some personalities who do better over time than automatically, like right away. And I think Sage mm-hmm. is one of those people. So I'm very glad that she was on a strong tribe, because I do think that she probably would have been an early boot. And I think that I think we're going to be able to see a lot of fun things. And I was looking at my phone because I wanted to make sure I was right. So two weeks ago, Dalton Ross posted the hot takes from that he always does.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you were saying like, Sage just putting herself out there, you know, as, you know, somebody who is trustworthy because she, you know, it seems like quirky and she's true to herself, but she's also telling us these things. But then this is why I brought this up. So her hot take, I don't know, you can't read this. I don't think you can read this. It says, there's no such thing as an honest game was her hot take, which completely agree. But I also think that knowing this and seeing how she's kind of playing her game right now, obviously it's not an honest game. She's lying to Shannon and she told somebody else's secret. But I do think that she is somebody who could build people's trust and then turn on them. I think that post-merge, it could be very, very interesting to see her play, because I do think that she could be like, yeah, I'm gaining people's trust, but you know, I'm a shark, I'm gonna get them or whatever. I think could be really, really, really fun to watch.
Yeah. And this is again, glad that she hasn't had to go to tribal yet, because I think when you can set this foundation, whether from your personality or you're playing something up, set this expectation that you're not playing the game super hard, but she's actually thinking really hard, I think that sets her up so well for the future, because, you know, she's going to, when they all merge, she's going to go back to old Uli and they're going to think, oh, we've got Sage. Sage didn't go and strategize with old Hina. That's crazy. She's just going to be like a quiet killer. I'm really, really excited to see her play. Let her cook a little bit. I love that she's on with Shannon again in this new tribe.
I know. I'm like so excited. And I also think like one thing, I think that like it's also playing this kind of strategy, and I'm not 100% sure that she is, but I think that she is, where she's like kind of, you know, she's quirky and she's kind of playing into that quirky, but the strategy of almost like making people think that you're not playing super hard, but you are, I think is a really, really great strategy. It might not always get you the W, but I do think that it will get you far, but I also think it gets you a lot of, love from the fandom. And when you go out there, you're not doing it for that. You're doing it to win and all that stuff. But I think that there's like, for example, Carolyn or even Andy, right? Like these people are, from their castmates' perspective, may not have been playing the hardest game, but then with the confessionals and all of this other stuff, the fans will see the full, you know, picture.
Yes.
Or a more full picture. And it's kind of like a no lose situation, because you either go to the end and you win, or you go to the end and you win in the eyes of the fans. Or maybe you could always get voted out, like, right. You might not, but I think that like, it's a really interesting strategy, because I do think it's a strategy that I really want to see succeed in this new era. Cause we've seen people do this. I mean, like I would say like Fabio did this very well. And obviously on Big Brother just recently, Ashley.
Hugely.
Perfection.
Yeah. She executed it just like impeccably. Literally. When we were talking about jobs earlier, that was the one thing I thought, like, okay, if I had spent like 100 something days with Ashley and then she told me she was a lawyer, I would be like, okay, I am scared of you now. Now I'm concerned. That's the one situation where I'm like, okay, that's
concerning. There's no rule that doesn't have an exception, right? Like it has to be the exception that proves the rule, I would say.
Exactly.
Because she did it, like, could not have done that better. Like she put a masterclass of the lying, and it was so, I don't know how she, I genuinely don't know how she did that.
I loved it. It was so good.
I think I'm excited to see Sage down the line, because I think she's funny, and I love, oh my god, the hug with the eye roll.
So good. So good.
It's so good. It's such good TV. It's so good. It's like laugh out loud kind of a thing. And it's like, you know, people people will always complain about Survivor. And I think that this is something that people really want to see. They want to see personal conflict. And I think that because we're seeing it, like I'm feeling full. I'm feeling fed. Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, also like back to what you were saying with this being a strategy, I feel like especially in the new era, players don't always, and I didn't do this either, don't always utilize confessionals as well as they could. Like, I think it's easy to fall into a trap of sort of just reiterating exactly what happened beat for beat. Like, we see this a lot, especially with, like, you know, the journey. Something will happen on the journey and then somebody will have a confessional stating exactly what you just saw on the journey. And I think that can get a little bit boring. But when somebody is able to have these really separate personas of what they're doing on the in the, you know, game versus what they're telling the audience, yeah, I think that's like really kind of crunchy for viewers. It's fun to see that discrepancy. And I think that players should be a little more willing to do that. Like, air it out in the confessional and then, you know, be whatever version of yourself you need to be when you're playing. Cause it's, like you said, fun for viewers and will help you get at least a good way far in the game.
Yeah. If I am ever on Survivor, I think that my, I would absolutely. So growing up, my mom was a teacher for me. She was, and same. So we went to the same school. And so going home, we would have the car ride home and I would, it would be like a debrief and I would just like vent to my mom and she would vent to me. And then we'd get home and my dad'd be like, so how was your day? And both of us would be like, we just talked about it. Like, sorry, you missed it. Sorry. Yeah. But, I'm somebody that I need to talk it out in order for me to move on. And I move on really, really quickly, but I need to say it out loud for that to happen. And I know that like, if I was on Survivor, I would go and my confessional, I would be like, oh God, okay. And I would start spilling everything and everything that's frustrating me and all this stuff. And I do believe I would need to like maybe mend some bridges after after the show airs, because I just need to get, if I get it out of my system once, I usually never feel it again. Mm-hmm. It's usually one and done and then I move on. But then the problem is it's on film forever. So
I know that, and that is the danger of this strategy. Might not be good for the friendships afterwards, but yeah.
Hey, but if it wins me $1 million or whatever, I guess you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you can repair you can mend the bridges.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that want to be mended will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we have a new episode tomorrow, and as we've been teasing a lot, that we are seeing a swap. We're seeing something that we have not seen in the new era. Now, before we go into, you know, talking about this more, how are you feeling about this kind of, you know, change that they're making, this new, not strategy, what's the word? A double
structure
swap.
Format?
Thank you, double swap. How do you feel about this?
I love it. It is really like a, you know, pull the rug out from under the fans moment, because it's like, this is what we've been complaining about, is that, oh, we know the format, we know exactly what's going to happen. And Jeff says, actually, you don't. Like, we're going to three tribes of four. I think that my fear is that three tribes of four has a lot of the same trappings of three tribes of six, in that there's nowhere to hide. A weaker group will just go to tribal again and again. But I can't imagine that we're going to be in this structure for very long. It's really going to be like one, maybe two votes. And so I love it. I think it's so fun to just like put them all in a jar and shake them up one more time before the merge, because they have been really set in their ways. The groups that are working together are sticking together. And I think it's great to have one more challenge to that before they're really like let loose into the true game.
And usually it's a merge at 11, right?
Let me think about that. Yeah. Because
it's a jury of eight.
Yep.
And so I think that it's 12. Yeah, so they're at 12. So I think it's just genuinely one vote. So we got this question earlier, which was from Amanda Logan. When do you think that there will be, or when do you think, wait, what are the words? When do you all think there will be a true merge or still a mergatory this season? There we go. I got through it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an absolutely, I don't think it's going to be a mergatory, because I think this is in place of the mergatory.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. You know what? Okay. And here's another question. This is a fear that I had watching the promo, and maybe this has been confirmed. Do we know for sure that it is actually new tribes and not just like a three group mergatory?
Okay, so this is the storyline preview for the episode. So it's the episode's called The Devil's Shoes. Major shakeup. I know, I love that. A major shakeup hits the game when two tribes turn to three. New tribe members size each other up, but with only four players on each tribe, there was not much room to hide. Then heat and exhaustion take a major toll on one castaway on Survivor Wednesday, October 29th.
I liked the commitment to the voice at the
end. Oh, yeah. I went all in. I think it is. It's three tribes of four. Yeah, confirmed.
Okay. I love that. I think that's so fun. I think that, you know, Jeff knows that Mergatory got a little tired. It was crazy when we first started it, but now it's a little old and it's just really so devastating for the person who goes in that spot. Like, it sucks to watch. It sucks to put yourself in their shoes. I think this is like different and fun. I'm very excited to see how it plays out.
I'm really excited to see it play out as well. I also want to say, if you don't think that Survivor fans are just going to be mad no matter what, I posted when these tribes were kind of not announced, but figured out, I posted a video on TikTok and everyone's like, anything but a real merge. They'll do anything but merge. We hate blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, guys, I get what you're trying to say. I know you want a real merge. I think that this means we're going to get a real merge.
Yes, because patience.
I don't think they merge at 12. I don't think they've ever merged at 12. Now, maybe have they done a jury of nine? Maybe. I don't know. But like, I think this is a real merge. And I think a double swap where, you know, the new Uli that we were talking about with Sophie and who it's Sophie, Alex, Nate, and Christina, like, that's going to be so interesting to watch play.
Yes. That's crazy. Yeah. I feel like the last time we spoke last season, I really went on a rant about this, about how Survivor fans will be mad at anything. It's like, I think it's really good to go into this show that we all love. Let's all agree about that, with like a sense of openness and curiosity. Like, they are giving us something new. We've been asking for something new and different. And I think it has so much potential to be really, really fun. And so, yeah, people be complaining. Just wait and see. Let it show you how exciting it can be. Yeah.
And I think that this could be, again, I think this could be very exciting. I'll re-say the tribes one more time.
Yes.
So the Hina, the newer Hina that I'm calling, new Hina, whatever you want to call it.
New.
Rizzo, Sophie with an I, Savannah, and MC. So in this group, I'm a little nervous about MC, but she also has a beware.
Oh yeah. Oh, rats. Okay. So she will have to find it on the new beach, which may be hard without a buddy. I think everyone, you know, Rizzo really had a buddy, who had it. Alex, he still, or no, he played his. He had
a buddy. I think somebody was helping him, I think.
Yeah, right? I think both Sophie and Jake were helping him. Yeah. Well, Sophie questionably was actually not helping.
Oh, but, yeah. No, and Jeremiah was helping. Yeah, everyone was helping.
Yeah, it was very much a group thing on both ends. So, man, okay, that does put her in a tough position, because if they lose, she will immediately have to disappear to go deal with this, which only gives that group more time to talk through why it should be her. So for her, I hope she would realize this, because she seems quite astute. Like, as soon as that swap happens, even before they go to a challenge, she has got to make those bonds as fast as she can.
As fast, But now, I don't know that they're going to tribal council, though, because this group is pretty strong.
Yo, Sophie is so gassed, though.
That's true.
And Savannah is really small. So if there's any like physical component,
Rizzo can't do puzzles if it's a puzzle worker. Yeah. So
Rizzo has the worst puzzle sensibility of anyone I've ever seen. So they might really be in trouble. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so that's Nunu Hina.
And then Kella is Shannon, Sage, Steven, and Jawan. And so I think this is a Shannon situation.
Did Jawan really connect well with Shannon on original? No, I don't know that they did. I feel like Jawan and Shannon Sage was kind of connected about feeling on the outs.
On the outs. And because Shannon was a part of the core four. I think that that could be a bad for her. But here's the thing. And that Ryan brought up a really good point. I really thought it was going to be Shannon last episode. I thought Shannon was going to be the big last episode. I was like so certain. And then Ryan said, I don't know. We've heard from two people that they call her a shark, but she's pretending to, you know, be more spiritual, and that's how people will like her. And the other person that said that was Savannah. And so Ryan thinks that maybe Savannah will also have a part in voting her out, because we heard that confessional from Savannah. And I think that that's an interesting like read on the edit. So I don't know if maybe like a Savannah vote, maybe Savannah is the first merge vote. I mean, Shannon is the first merge vote.
Interesting. Vote. So that must have been, so that was like what, episode two or something, or yeah, it was very early on,
because she was like, I want to work with people who are cutthroat, but I need to keep an eye out on her because she seems like I see a lot of myself in her, and that scares me, is kind of what she said.
It's these people always interest me. Somebody like Shannon, where, you know, we have three separate people, Steven, Savannah, and Sage, all talking. Wow, so many S's on this season. Crazy.
It's really hard for me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I feel like it's
Steven,
like
a Sophie, tough Sophie, Savannah, Sage, Shannon.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. We have all these people talking about, I'm not going to name them again, how she's a shark. But it's interesting because each of them is also individually saying she's a shark, but people don't realize she's a shark. So it's always so funky to me when there's a person who everyone is individually identifying, this person is suspicious, but I don't think anybody else can tell. And again, I really like that Steven put that out into the open, because I think sometimes people can be like really siloed and be like, oh, I'm the only one who's noticing this. Like, I don't want to say anything because everybody really likes this person. And then somebody who is really a threat and nobody wants to work with can end up getting way further than they should because people aren't chatting about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's a really interesting edit read. I could see that, because Savannah does really seem to want to work with people who will go along with what she says and who she can kind of put like the responsibility on them or the ownership on them. Like, she seems to be doing that a lot with Nate, kind of having like influencing him for what she wants to happen, but having him make the final call so she can point and be like, Nate said that. Okay. So maybe that group may not go.
I also could see, like, you know, in if they do merge and say Shannon is still there, I could very much see Savannah thinking that, like, oh, I was close with Shannon. I've now met Sophie.
Yes.
Sophie is my new Shannon. I don't need Shannon anymore. I don't think I have the same. I think that Sophie is slightly less threatening than Shannon. I can cut Shannon, because I think her and Sophie do have bonded so much.
Yes, they clicked immediately. That's why, I mean, this is two episodes ago, but it really cracked me up when new Hina went to tribal and it was between Matt and Jason. And Matt just like, whoosh, no awareness, immediately put Sophie's name out there. And I was like, dude, you can't tell. Like, they're obsessed with her. They're obsessed with her. Yeah. So I could see that. I could also see, you know, I think Shannon is acting really buddy-buddy with her new tribe. And even though there is a lot of suspicion there and people aren't maybe buying it, I think Savannah will be able to feel that energy when they all come back together. And I could see her going into a paranoia spiral of like, oh, Shannon has made all these other bonds, and now I have my new number one, Sophie. I don't need her. Let me get her out before she gets me. Ooh, very interesting. Okay, so that tribe potentially not in trouble. Yeah,
and then this is the mystery one where, this is the mystery one, Nate, Sophie with an E, Christina, and Alex, and I genuinely, gun to my head, have no idea what would happen. Not a single clue.
This is really an edit read. I almost can't fathom that they go to tribal because of how little we've seen of Sophie with an E. And honestly, very little of Christina. Like, and Nate and Alex, we've seen a lot from both of them, but they've never interacted. Wow.
I have no idea. Like, because I mean, Sophie and Christina seemed to work a little together, but I will also say Christina threw out Sophie's name in the first episode or the second episode when MC.
And then MC went and told Sophie.
But MC didn't tell Sophie that it was Christina. MC was kind of blaming it on Matt because she wanted Matt to go, it felt.
It was Christina
who originally threw out Sophie's name. But I think that MC wanted to work with Christina. So I don't think that she was going to put the blame on Christina. I think that she was blaming Matt to be like, oh, look, Matt is so against you. Yeah. And now Matt's gone. And so I don't know that Sophie knows that.
So that's interesting. And I mean, we've never seen the two of them talk alone. No. So in theory, they've had all this bonding time. They seemed to, you know, they were together. We haven't even talked about the whole chicken thing. I mean, that was, like flavor text, but that was crazy too.
That was crazy.
But in theory, they've bonded. But I mean, the show hasn't told us that story at all. So no. I can't fathom that this group goes to tribal and then suddenly it's like, oh, you didn't know Sophie and Christina are in our number ones this whole time? Like, no way. I feel like, okay, here's honestly my impression of that group. I do think that Nate would be in trouble there for a couple reasons. Reason number one, they do all know that Nate just went on this journey. Mm-hmm. I think that they trust MC's story of what happened, but they might assume that Nate has a secret advantage that they don't know about. It's something to go off of. And because he's the only original Uli, I think that, you know, that's the tribe that hasn't been shot at in any way. So I think it would just fall on Nate, and he doesn't know any of those people. He has no ground to stand on to get it off of him.
Yeah. I think that's a really good read, especially because Hina has down two in numbers, and it's two Hina in this tribe. And so if they go to tribal council, even if they might not be working close together, they might just be like, well, we can't just do a random Kele. We gotta get out an Uli, because that would just be hard. I think that's a really good read. I think now that we've talked about this, and I really thought that new Uli was going to go to tribal council, I now am kind of leaning now towards this newer Hina.
I agree. We've seen so much from MC.
Yeah.
We've seen so much from Savannah and Rizzo and Sophie, all of them. Wow, but I can't imagine any of them going in this spot either.
That would make me really sad, because I really like this whole group. And I think it would be really crazy to see like MC go with an idol in her pocket, or go because she doesn't have a vote. I think
if she
plays an idol, like, is Sophie going? Is Savannah going? Like,
that's my question. So, okay, here's the thing. Like, if so she gets her vote back. I mean, if she doesn't get her vote back, I think she's just completely
she's
toast.
Gone. Yeah.
If she gets her vote back, she gets the idol. I would hope that she would just play it. But who would she go for? I feel like
she would try to go for Sophie, honestly. Or no, really? it would probably be either Savannah or Rizzo. You're right.
Yeah. I feel like, and she just learned about Rizzo having the idol as well. So maybe that would influence her to go Savannah for safety, or go Rizzo and just try to totally snow him. But a lot of firepower on that tribe in terms of
my
idols.
Gosh. Yeah. I think we're in for a good episode.
Something that I just thought of as well, because Rizzo had to go through this whole process, I feel like he will clock in to MC going through this process if they lose. Like, I think that he is astute enough to realize what she is doing if she disappears. And
so we get like a shadowing situation like we've seen on previous seasons, like Rizzo that. Being like, she's gone. I think that she's looking for the whatever. Could we?
Yeah.
And so that could be, I think no matter what, this episode, I am a huge fan of the way that they're breaking up these tribes. I'm excited about it. And I do think that we're in for a good episode. I hope.
Same. I'm just thrilled. It's just fun to, this is why the merge is fun. It's fun to see the cross-contamination, like all the new groups interacting, and either way we will get that. So that's great. Boy, though, if that group does go, Sophie is really like, is she cursed? Like, what's actually happening?
I know. So this is an interesting question. Ooh. Do you think it'll be two tribes get immunity and one goes to tribal, or will one tribe be immune and the other eight will go to tribal either separately or together? I do not think they will be going separately. I think that because Jake has been medevaced, I think, and then they voted somebody out. I do not think that we're going to have a double vote this season. I think that would be hard to do, because then I think that we would get like a no vote at one point, and I think that they wouldn't want to do that. So I do think it could be a group of eight going, which could be very interesting.
I love that.
Because I usually don't like it when two tribes like go together, but at this point, at a second swap, I think it could be really interesting and really fun.
Yeah, though, I mean, okay, it could be interesting, but it also has the potential to erase what is exciting about the swap. Like,
that's
true. Two tribes come together and it's just like, oh, we have Uli majority again. We're just going to vote Uli lines again.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't think about that at all.
I didn't either.
I'd be down for that. I'd be down for that.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. Now, before we get to our award, I do want to shout out, I think that this is the edit's fault, not anything else. Jason didn't get a lot of time, I feel like, in his boot episode, which no. I think stinks. But I do want to shout out, I think that Jason was a very strong player, and I think that he just was unlucky. And I think that, like, I think in a world where he goes to the merge, he could have, you know, I think he had bonds with MC. I think he had some bonds with Sophie. And I think that, you know, he was making his inroads with Juwan and some other people. And so I do think that, like, there could be, I do think that if they didn't go to Triple Council twice or whatever, I do think that we could see him go much, much further in the game, but I'm sad to see him go. I was really excited for him, preseason. I just wanted to shout out Jason real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he was in a tough position. I don't know. I had a slightly different impression, honestly. I feel like he, cause he did seem like he was not part of the core group on original Hina, which he didn't seem to realize. Like, he came into his new tribe and was like, I'm locked in with these people. I think that it would be easy if he made it to merge to point to his puzzle skills and get him out for that reason, cause he's just so strong with them. And I was a little like, when he first entered new Hina, I was disappointed with his, like, yes and skills. I feel like people did kind of come to him and say, like, I think Rizzo specifically said, you know, you seem trustworthy. Like, I like your vibe. And he said something like, oh, trustworthy in comparison to who? It's like, don't say that. Just say like, oh, yes, thank you. You are also trustworthy. Let's have a conversation about that. Like, I think that he, and I think it comes from a place of him being analytical and wanting to understand what's being pitched to him and what's being said, but it came off as defensive and not wanting to work together. So that, and he did improve in this last episode. He did seem to make more of those connections. And again, it's just them losing again. It's a really tough pull for him. But I wished he had been on the ball a little bit faster when they first came together. Like, I think the strategy of saying, I can't wait to go back to my old tribe is not it.
That was really weird. I also think that he was saying that and he was like, I got connections. If you save me, I've got connections with the old Hina. It's like, you guys are going to be in the minority. I don't think I need those connections.
Yeah. It's like, or I could just vote you out.
I also think that what was I going to say? It'll come to me later. Never mind. I think that he is so good at puzzles, and I think that he and MC kind of approached the alternate slightly differently. And I feel like MC had a more full idea of how she was going to play, where I feel like Jason kind of was thrown off by it. Because I think the odds of you actually going in as an alternate are kind of low. And maybe you coming back is pretty high, but like, I think that the odds are pretty low. And I do think that being thrown off makes sense, but I do think that maybe he was slightly more thrown off than she was.
And I see that potential there that you're talking about. I see that. I think that he would have really thrived on season, 51.
Me too.
Cause he's got that confidence and he comes in knowing what he wants to do. Cause it did really seem like he was off balance a little bit the whole time.
I didn't get the vote for Rizzo. I knew he did that, but I didn't understand why he did that.
Yeah. I mean, we saw a 2-second moment where he says to Juwan, like, what if we go for Rizzo? But, and actually, let me take a moment to give props to Juwan, because even though he hasn't voted with any of the folks on the bottom, he has really engaged with them enough that they feel like he's on their side, which I think is a mark of a good player being willing to do that. So, they must have had enough of a conversation that Jason felt like confident, but it was such an interesting flip, because last week he was like, I'm 100% using my shot in the dark. And then this week really felt like the week to use your shot in the dark. And then I didn't do it. But you could see as Jeff was reading the votes that he was like, oh, rats, I misread this. And that happens. It totally happens.
Made me sad. But when he then was just like, happy in his final words, I was like, man, Oh, I almost got real sad there for a second.
I know. No, I loved his attitude. He had a really good mindset about it. And he did the best that he could with a bit of a tussle.
And you know what? I am happy that he played the game, because not only was he, I thought he was fun, and I thought he brought a lot of, like, I don't know, he made me smile when he was on TV. He also brought up Kenny from Gabon on our screen. in the year 2025, which is, yes. we needed and we wanted that, and I'm just thankful for him for that.
Yeah, that was a big thing. That was a big moment that he gave to
moment.
Us.
Big
yeah.
moment. as honestly a Kenny from Gabon stan, I was like, okay. Hell yeah, let's go.
I see you. That's the core of all of this, is you just want you're a Jason stan because you're a Kenny stan. It's all
literally I love Gabon. I think it's a crazy season. And Kenny is one of those people, every single time I'm like, if I could bring back like a list of like 10 people I could bring back, Kenny is like number 6 on that list. I want
love
Kenny back
that
so bad.
Love that. Perhaps a slightly hot take.
A little bit of a hot take, but I think he'd be fun. Him and Ace. If Coach was not a part of Token Sheens, I think Ace would have a much bigger role in the Survivor world.
Oh, interesting. You think Coach like overshadowed?
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I think Ace was kind of like a
coach for like the fourth time.
90th time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 90th. You're right. That's actually the correct number there. Yeah. Wow. Big L for Ace. Really got overshadowed.
Sorry, Ace. Okay. Before I let you go, I do like to end the episode with the Alley-Oop Award, which is this very silly, fun, goofy award that we give to somebody who we think is setting themselves up best for this next episode. This one's going to be a little bit interesting because I think that like there's a lot of moving parts here. There's not only who we think did really well this episode and maybe is setting themselves up well, but there's also the swap that we know is coming. So like, you know, somebody who may have set themselves up well in their own tribe this next episode, it may not be so great because they're going into a different swap. So for example, I think that Alex was really setting himself up well within his tribe. But now I'm like, I feel like all of that work is for naught, at least in this next episode, because these are people he's literally never met before. Yes. Except for Christina. He knows Christina. So I think that plays a little bit. But do you have an idea of who you would want to give this award to?
Yes. So, okay. Before I say, remind me of the tribe with Sage, Shannon, Steven. Who's the fourth person there?
Sage and Juwan. Yep.
Okay. So I think that if we had no clue what was happening next week and it was a presumed mergatory, I would have absolutely said Sage. And I do still think she is in a really good position. As we talked about, she played that kind of undermining of Shannon really, really well. But given the foresight of what the groups will be, I actually think Steven is set up really, really well, because he should be in a horrendous position. He is one Hina on a tribe of 3 Ulis where Hina has not had any blood spilled and there's bloodlust for it. But I can't imagine him going home in that group.
Me neither.
At all.
I agree.
Which is crazy to think about.
I also agree, because like, so going into this episode, I was like, oh, I'm going to get into Sage no matter what. This was Sage's episode. And I think that it was still Sage's episode. But the more I talked about Steven, the more I was like, honestly, Sage would not have been able to do any of this without Steven there. If she had done all of this, and I do think that she made amazing inroads, like she did such a good job, but I think that her without Steven, like kind of like backing her up, it almost would have come off maybe a little bit more like petty, or like her like grasping at straws. But because Steven was there and was like, I think that this is the case, and I'm getting my people on board for this, I think that he made it Sage's episode. He made the door open to be Sage's episode. I think it has to be Steven, because again, we're seeing those three together is crazy, is so exciting. Yeah. And like, and I'm very excited to see what happens if they do go to tribal council. If they don't, I think it'll still be interesting in the merge. But yeah, I think it's gotta be Steven.
Yeah. And I think it would 100% be set up as, you know, Shannon thinks it's a Sage blindside. Mm-hmm. Everyone else knows it's a Shannon blindside. I mean, Steven, just like you said, Steven really like built the foundation from scratch this week for being suspicious of Shannon. Mm-hmm. And then Sage, great job, capitalized on that opportunity. But yeah, really the opportunity was handed to her by Steven. I would really love if those two, Steven and Sage, works together, especially with MC long term. I feel like that's actually like it is a very interesting combination of three. I think that they're like actually quite like level-headed as an alliance. So I hope that all three of them make it through this next kind of section of the game, because I would love to see how they move through the end game together.
Me too. I'm really excited. I think this post-merge is going to be really, really interesting. I think this episode is going to be really interesting, but I think that the people that are still left in the game, I think have a lot of game left in them. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. Because I think some people were down on this past episode, but I think the more you analyze it and the more you look at it, the more this episode actually gave us and set us up. I think we're set up for a lot of really interesting things. And I think that, you know, they're setting us up and the payoff is just going to be really, really amazing. Is what I feel like. I hope I'm right.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. They can't have given us all this Sage and Shane stuff for nothing. Come on.
Exactly. Well, Franny, thank you so much for starting your day with me and chatting with me. It's always just so much fun to talk to you. Because I think that you give me some really fun insights, some things that I'm not always thinking about, but then also we see eye to eye on so many things. So it's really, really, really fun to chat with you. Before I let you go, where can the people, is there anything that you want to plug or any, where can the people find you, anything like that?
Where can people find me? Well, I am at Hail the Veil on everything, all platforms, though I do not engage on those platforms basically at all. But the thing that I will plug is I have a D&D podcast with myself, Matt, Kane, and Carson, and a lot of special guests. We have finished an entire D&D campaign on that podcast. It's called Surviving the Dice. But the nice thing about D&D is that it is unmoored from time. So whenever folks want, you can go and listen through that story arc and you know that it's completed. I would just plug that. It was so much fun to make, and it's very bittersweet that it's done, but it's all out there and can be accessed at any time. And we're also gearing up for a new campaign. We're recording very soon. So,
oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love D&D. It's been like my my big new discovery of the past couple of years. So that's my big plug. But love. Yeah, thank you, Tegwith, for having me on. It's so much fun to talk to you about Survivor. It really does feel like, okay, we're chatting amongst friends here.
Literally, like, that's what it feels like every single time. Well, thank you so much for chatting. And everybody, I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. Obviously, it's just the classics things for the specialists this week. We've got the post-episode thing and then the other thing. And so you should go and listen to all of the things.
You're so good at promos. And this thing.
And honestly, there's the other thing too. So all of the things. You should go listen to them because they're all so good.
Everything that you could encounter, you're gonna love it.
But thank you all so much for starting your day with us and chatting with us. It's such a blast, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.